On Tuesday night, as people across the country were busy watching election returns, lawyers for the Justice Department filed a brief in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit here in New York, once again making the Obama administration's case in support of the indefinite detention provisions of the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA. Section 1021 of the NDAA is being challenged in court by journalists, human rights workers, civil liberties attorneys, and others who say they could be subjected to detention without trial under the terms of the law and that it violates their First Amendment rights. Federal District Court Judge Catherine Forrest agreed with the plaintiffs and issued at first a temporary and then a permanent injunction against enforcement of that provision of the law, but the appeals court put a stay on that injunction pending a full hearing on the issues. Carl Mayer is an attorney with the Mayer Law Group and one of the attorneys representing the plaintiffs in the case. He says the government is continuing to make the same arguments that Judge Forrest found unpersuasive.
The essence of the arguments that the government keeps making are that we're the executive branch and you have to trust us during wartime, and are defining wartime as potentially infinite. We are defining wartime as until the end of hostilities with any terrorist organization as an enemy of the United States. So the war on terrorism, so-called, is never ending. And as long as this war is ongoing, the judiciary should not scrutinize the actions of the executive branch. And I think it's a frightening argument. It's the same type of argument that was used that actually led to the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. If you take the government's argument to its logical extreme, there's really no reason that they couldn't detain Muslim Americans just on the basis that as Muslim Americans, they might have some affinity or support for terrorist groups. And beyond that, the government seems entirely unconcerned with the First Amendment rights of American journalists and activists to say what they want about issues in the Middle East or domestic issues. And for all these reasons, it's not surprising to me that the government files their briefs right around the time of Election Day when there's no press coverage. President Obama signed this law, the so-called Homeland Battlefield Act, on December 31st of 2011, right when people are not paying attention. And actually, the Justice Department had a consistent pattern of refusing to comment on this case, mostly because I think the president's supporters would be and are appalled at the administration's disregard for civil liberties and their support for indefinitely detaining Americans in a fashion that even goes beyond what the Bush administration was doing. So in a certain sense, it's not surprising. If you saw the final presidential debate, it was probably the most strange of the three debates, in that at the very beginning of the debate, Mitt Romney criticized the president for his policies in the Middle East and in other areas and said that he wouldn't have acted that way. And then for the rest of the debate, he proceeded to describe how he agreed with President Obama on every single issue that came up during the debate. So there's a bipartisan Democratic-Republican consensus that civil liberties are going to take a backseat to the war on terrorism, period, in this country. And it doesn't matter whether it's the detention of U.S. citizens in military prisons and tribunals, which goes against 200 years of American precedent. It doesn't matter whether it concerns drone attacks. It doesn't matter whether it concerns the stifling of free speech rights in our cities. It doesn't matter whether it's the USA Patriot Act. It doesn't matter whether it's warrantless wiretapping. There's a complete bipartisan consensus that civil liberties are on the back burner. And that's why we're fighting this lawsuit, because not only do we think this statute is fundamentally unconstitutional, but we don't think a majority of Americans agrees with taking away these civil liberties.
There seems to be a contradiction inherent in the government's arguments here. They continue to argue that everything in the NDAA Section 1021 is already in the authorization for the use of military force from 2001. And yet they fought an injunction saying that it would do irreparable harm to the security of the country. Are they trying to have it both ways?
Yeah, I think they are trying to have it both ways, because our argument to the court was very clear, which is that the NDAA is definitely a radical departure from the authorization for the use of military force, which was enacted right after 9/11. Our argument to the court, which Judge Forrest, the district court judge, accepted, is that, in fact, the NDAA is different because it targets U.S. citizens and civilian non-combatants. in a way that isn't at all in the AUMF. So now the government is trying to say that because both are the same, you have to suspend the injunction. And you're exactly right, that's completely contradictory. But I think they're also trying to play a game with the court, too. In their papers, they're trying to persuade the court that the administration's entire detention program would collapse if Judge Forrest's ruling stands. And we don't believe that. We just believe that when it comes to citizens engaging in protected First Amendment activity, they can't be subject to any of these military courts or detention centers. They're entitled to a civil jury trial, and the Constitution guarantees that.
The other area that I find curious is that the government makes the argument that none of the plaintiffs have standing because they could not be and would not be subject to detention under the NDAA. And yet Judge Forrest ruled that the law is so vague that it could be interpreted to put them at risk and their First Amendment rights as well. Is this a case of the Justice Department saying, trust us, you're safe?
Yeah, it is, and it's actually worse than that, because, first of all, the language of the statute passed by Congress is incredibly vague. There's no definitional section. I've been practicing law for 25 years. I've never seen a statute that doesn't define its terms. It doesn't say what substantial support means. It allows the government to go after any group that's, quote, engaged in hostilities, end quote, with the U.S. government. And there's no definition of that. So it's entirely vague. But it's worse than that, because in our trial below in front of Judge Forrest, she specifically asked the government to give specific representations in court on the record that the plaintiffs would not be subject to the act. They would not be subject to detention. And repeatedly, the lawyers for the government declined to do that. They said that they could not make such representations. So they couldn't guarantee it. Now, they started to backpedal on that when they lost. After they lost in front of Judge Forrest and continuing through today, now they're trying to maintain, oh, of course the plaintiffs wouldn't be subject to detention. But that's just nonsense. They've already admitted that they would be, and the language is so vague, there's no way to say that they wouldn't be.
And there's a fundamental flaw in using the trust us argument, you're okay, since a judge has to rule not only on what this president might do, but any future president.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, President Obama's supporters take some comfort in his signing statement where he says that he's troubled by the law and he's troubled by the constitutionality of its provisions, but that he won't himself detain American citizens. Well, again, there are 2 points there. Number one, the next president is not bound by that. And number two, the government at the trial in front of Judge Forrest in the district court, they were asked whether they had in fact detained people under this section. And they refused to answer it. They said, we don't keep track of the sections of the law under which we detain people. We just detain people. Well, if that's the case, then how could you possibly take the government's position that we should trust them seriously?
Carl Mayer is an attorney with the Mayer Law Group. More information about the case is available on the web at stopndaa.org.